sent me a logo of the Bulls. Did you see that? I sent it to you.
Yeah. Of the Bulls logo upside down.
And it looked like an alien fucking a crab.
Yep.
That was fucking weird, bro.
I know. Who sent that to you?
I don't know, but it's because we were talking about mascots. We were talking about mascots in our last episode.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah. Then somebody, I think Poncho sent it to me, bro.
Oh, okay.
From Chicago.
Oh, yeah, because he's from Chicago, yeah.
He's a big chick. But we also got fact check on a couple of things, as always, right? Before we go on, dude, Fresno State did beat USC in the Freedom Bowl in 92.
Was it 92?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Damn, we're good.
Yeah. Well, that's what you had mentioned, too. Yeah. And you know, I thought for some reason the year that they had Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart, Fresno State went to the Coliseum and almost beat USC when USC was like number one in the country. And I remember watching that game thinking, how is Fresno State going to beat us? Because I think they were down in that game. So that's what I thought you were talking about.
No, we were talking about two different eras. So the 92 game was the one that I went to.
Like you said, it was a Freedom Bowl.
Correct. Yes. It was a Freedom Bowl in 92. And it was, that was the year Trent Dilfer was a quarterback, and they beat USC 24-7, bro.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't even a freaking competitive game.
It didn't sound like it.
It was a beatdown. Yeah.
So, well,
just wanted to clear that up. Yeah. I know we got Central
for sure. Monitors. And I think sometimes too, when people, text us or when they put something on Instagram and you're like, oh, okay, yeah. So one of the other things that Robles sent me something, and I wanted to talk to you about this the last time we were talking about easy out, enter out, in and out. And that was, there used to be a little go-kart place.
Yeah.
Right next to, it was across the street from McDonald's on, I want to say it's Garvey, but it could be Valley.
I think that in my life, The two times that I've laughed the hardest in my life were at go-kart places.
Oh, my God.
And I remember the one you're talking about there particularly. I remember that we were – and back then, I don't even think they made you wear a helmet, bro.
They did not.
Okay, so they didn't make you wear a helmet. We must have been, what, 12?
Yes, bro. We 10, went. 12? And you know what I specifically remember about that day is that we were on our golf carts and we were – on our go-karts, I should say. Uh-huh. And I was following behind you, or you were following behind me. I'm not sure, but one of us, whoever was in the lead, went into the bushes, and the other person, I think I may have followed you into the bushes.
Yeah, so you ran me. There was like a slope just off the track.
Yes.
But you had to go over a curb.
Uh-huh.
So
to get there.
It was really hard to go over, right? And I think you bumped me, and I went over it, because I just remember leaves and plants hit me in the face.
Yes. Hey, and they did that number, bro. They did that number where the guy came out, the guy that's running the track comes out, and he's steering the cart for you, like only standing on one leg on the side, on the little fender. And I'm thinking, oh, once you get to that position where the guy has to come out and drive the cart that you're still in, you fucked up, bro.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't remember getting kicked out. I don't remember.
No, I don't think they kicked us out.
I think they were like, okay, just be more careful.
I do remember that there weren't any helmets, because that shit would never fly now. Like all of the dangerous shit from before.
Yeah.
Like, dude, motorcycles before, you didn't have to have a helmet.
Yeah.
Now, you never see anybody. It's weird. It would be weird to see somebody without a helmet on a bike.
Yeah. I think in some states, I don't think in Texas, they require you to wear a helmet.
Yeah, that's right.
On a motorcycle. Yeah. So I'm not sure if that's the only state that's like that, but I think that's crazy. Like, I would not ride my bike without a helmet. I mean, it's one thing if you're going to say, I'm just going to go around the block, but like, even that's dangerous, bro. Cause you never know, and all it takes is a 25 mile per hour crash to end your life.
I agree. So, yeah, but also it feels the same as like how you don't see people riding in the back of pickups anymore.
Right.
You know, it's like you don't see a person on a motorcycle without a helmet.
So do you remember the incident that caused that law to change? Because I do.
Which law?
The one that you can't ride in the back of a pickup.
No.
Okay, so I believe you were still enlisted in Florida or somewhere, and there was a truck traveling on the, and I believe it was the 105, with about four or five kids in the back, and it flipped, and they all
Well, I would imagine.
But three or four of them got killed or something. Yeah. And then I remember the following January that law changed, and they referenced that specific thing, bro.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy, all of the old dangerous shit, right?
Well, okay, so let me take a step back. I remember that was the incident that caused it. I could be wrong, bro, but I remember that it was like that particular incident on the 105 was like,
look, if that's not the incident that caused it, I'm sure somebody came to their senses at some point and said this could fucking happen. Like, somebody if you're riding in the back of a pickup truck and you're on a freeway, dude, if you're just going over 40-30,
so so let me ask you this, Bian, what are your thoughts on that sort of quote unquote, because does that qualify for cancel culture?
No. Okay,
I would say no. I mean, I'm saying, I know what you're saying. I know it's not cancel culture, but it's that sort of strong reaction to, and I'm sure that when they were, you know, discussing whether or not to put this up for vote, that there were many examples of this. But I remember that one, and there's a lot of things. I mean, you just mentioned motorcycle helmets. Obviously, people have things happen to them. Like, okay, my daughter got stalked on the way home from school, and then all of a sudden there's a law that restricts you from being too, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, but there's some that are impractical. I think cancel culture in a lot of ways is like, really, we're going to cry about that? Or really, we're going to cancel somebody because of that? Like some slight that somebody felt at some point, and now all of a sudden, you know, we have to be pissed off about it.
Or tragedy strikes, and then the law changes in response to that tragedy, like what we're talking about right now with the trucks. I remember riding in the back of trucks a lot when I was a kid. I remember riding in the back of my dad's yellow GMC yep. pickup. And I remember that was one of the best things to do. Like,
it was fun as hell.
It was fun as hell. And then now, because maybe of this one incident or maybe several, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah. And kids or, you know, people who grew up after a certain time, you know, they don't have any concept of what it's like to ride in the back. Like, you know, the wheel well was like a seat, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And if you sit with your back against the cab, then that shielded you from the air, you know. Like, there's little nuances too about that people will never live again, you know, unless, you know, you're in Europe or whatever and you're riding in the back of a truck.
Yeah, there's other things too that don't make sense, like you know, if you're another country and you say you're Toyota, when Toyota first started selling cars or whatever, or any other car company or any, they won't, the United States won't allow you to sell that car here until it's gone through like rigorous crash testing, yes. etc. And I'm thinking to myself, well, even in the worst performance of that vehicle, so it's all a racket, right? I mean, it's still safer than
right.
than a dude riding a motorcycle.
Right.
And so if you're in the worst case scenario of that crash test, you're going to ban this Toyota car, then all motorcycles should be banned. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm amazed, bro. I am amazed that they don't ban those little ass cars, dude. I think they're called smart cars. I've seen them. I think to myself, if somebody hits that car at anything greater than like 30 miles an hour, mm-hmm. that the person's going to be crushed, you know?
Yeah.
You know, especially in America where half of the population is driving around in an SUV. You know, and you put that up against, and you're basically in something that's more dangerous than a motorcycle. Because even if it's a motorcycle, you don't run the risk of being ejected into a freaking windshield or through a windshield. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But it is weird. And I think it happens with a lot of things. You know, it happened with toys. Do you remember those clackers?
Oh, shit.
You remember that? Okay. Yeah, well, they used to have the clackers were just like two essentially big ass, like maybe 2-inch marbles,
yeah,
on the ends of two strings that I don't even remember how they were affixed to the marbles, right? Yeah. But I remember that the trick was to try and get them to clack,
yeah,
together, and there was people that were really good at it, but invariably something will happen,
yeah,
you know,
because I remember getting hurt. Where you were playing with the clackers.
Right.
I remember that. I remember.
Yeah, it's like it hits you on the knuckles,
yeah,
or on the wrist or whatever, you know, marble on bone. Yeah. Yeah. And then they changed them to where they were on these wings, and they, you know, if you just moved them up and down, it didn't take the fun out of it, but It was definitely a different, it was like a different toy.
It was attached by like two plastic, it looked like a triangle though.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and they were on a, they were like on a stem.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there were, but okay. So another example is, and this is kind of in our time, but also these toys were around in the 50s, like lawn darts. Mm-hmm. You know what lawn darts are?
Yeah.
Lawn darts, for people who don't know, is basically this game that people used to play with. It's the same concept as horseshoes or cornhole. We're on opposite sides and they're trying to score on your target, right? Well, lawn darts was like that, but it was more like it was these things that were pointy. And then, you know, they were kind of heavy and they had metal tips and you'd throw them in the air and then you'd have to try to make them land in a circle, I'm going to imagine. Sometimes, in some instances, the lawn darts would be coming towards you.
Yeah.
So you had to, like, if they, you had to essentially dodge, not, you're not, they're not trying to throw them at you, but sometimes if the, if it goes off of its intended path,
it catches it,
might
freak,
you might catch it. And this is like the same feeling that I get with people. Like, you ever seen in the Olympics when they throw the javelin? Yeah. And you're like, man, that fucking judge, he's got a, like, I bet he gets trained in not getting freaking stuck with the javelin, right? Yeah. But it was the same thing with lawn darts, you know? Yeah.
So I did look up when you were telling me that story. I went on the internet and I looked up the 10 most dangerous toys in
the Yeah.
So I'm going to just give them to you real quick.
And oh, so there's a list.
There's a
oh,
list.
Oh, sweet.
Bro.
Okay.
There's a list. So the first one is a CSI fingerprint analysis kit, bro. So it's one of these things. It's like a science kit, but it was sort of patterned after the CSI show. And it turns out that the stuff that they put in there.
Some chemical, right?
It was poisoned.
Oh, bro. That's crazy.
And then number two, javelin darts, the one you were just talking about.
Oh, okay.
About. Yeah.
You were just otherwise known as lawn darts, right?
Correct. Uh-huh. Yeah. These, you can still get them, by the way. You
just Holy shit.
Yeah, but you can't get them like, they made them safe, bro.
Wait, hold on. So maybe you can't, I know what they've done workarounds on stuff before where you're like, they're not going to send you the lawn darts. They're going to send you the pieces to make the lawn darts.
It's the same game, just they put blunt, like, rubber heads
on
them.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay. Number three was flubber. And this one was another one that was pulled back because, the flubber, the chemical.
Chemicals always. So two out of the first three are chemical.
Correct.
Dangers.
Yeah. And then they got one here is called Wago kite tubes. So this thing, bro, you would pull it behind a boat and you would.
Oh my God.
You would lay your kid on top of it.
Oh, hell no.
And it would fly like. With the kid in
fucking
it.
Fucking funny, but, yeah, bro. But goddamn, dude. You know, the thing is, these are out loud. Somebody experienced some tragedy to have the FDA be like, you know what, fuck this. This is too dangerous.
It would fly your kid around the lake, like on the back
of a
kite. Okay, that's number five is, you mentioned earlier, the clackers. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can still purchase the clackers too. And then water beads. There was number nine was water beads. This one was So the water beads were banned because so you'd throw these beads in water and they would expand, bro. Like they were like these little rubber beads, and the kids would eat them and they would expand in their stomachs. Like in
oh my God. Yeah, yes, so, right. So they swallowed one.
Yeah, they weren't toxic, but like the kids were swallowing them and they were expanding in
their stomachs.
Yeah, here's number seven, bro. And I'm going to read the description because this is super crazy. It's called, number seven was Gilbert Atomic Energy Lab.
What?
Energy Lab. So
equipping. Wait, did you say Atomic Energy Lab?
Yeah, it says, it says clearly equipping a children's science toy with uranium-238, which the minds behind the Atomic Energy Lab seem to have done, is mind-bending benchmark in the annals of poor adult judgment. So this thing would come with uranium.
Wait, I'm like by questioning, like somebody sitting at a freaking board meeting and being like, "Hey, we're gonna send these toys. We're gonna sell this toy that has uranium in it." Holy shit!
Yeah, bro. Number eight was Easy Bake Oven, 2007.
Okay, I could see that.
Number nine, here's kind of a modern one. It was the Black Panther Wakanda Battle Claws, and I guess these things would because you'd push a button and they'd come out. And they were jabbing kids in the night. Yeah, bro. Let me see. I think that was it. That was number. It. That was number nine. Yeah, this thing got a little wonky. So number one, but there was a couple on there that I remember you and I had talked about the clackers. And
yeah.
Then
well, you know which one the one that we had for sure that I thought was dangerous as hell. Just remember the Evel Knievel one? It was it was like a little thing that had a handle, and you inserted the Evel Knievel motorcycle onto this platform, mm-hmm. but it sat on the ground, and you were like on your knees, and you had to crank it. You had to crank there's like a little lever, and you cranked it, and then when you push the button, it would take off. So you'd crank it, so it would build up like some torque.
Wasn't it a thing you stuck in the back?
No, that was one too, but this one was different. So when you were winding it up, you were basically leaning on the little unit, and you would have one hand on the right side of the unit, you would be cranking, but if you lost your balance, you would fucking punch the floor, bro. Oh. And then I remember doing that a couple times, and you know, even as a small kid, I was like, man, this is fucking dangerous. Like, you know, somebody doesn't know. You could really fuck yourself up.
Yeah. Speaking of toys, did you see this? I think it was the Murrieta Police Department. They were putting, what were we talking about, bro? We were talking about not the cancel culture, but the sort of, you know, extreme reaction. So they were putting Lego heads on the lineups that they would print and on mugshots and shit.
You know, you sent me the article, and the whole time I'm asking myself, well, if you can't see their faces, what's the point? Like, why are you covering up their faces? Because the whole reason why they're in that lineup is because somebody might recognize their face. So this would be something that they would keep after the fact. And then in their records, and they would, instead of having their faces displayed, they would add and I'm looking at the picture, and the Lego, there's like a Lego, the Lego man faces are on them.
Yeah, and then Lego found out about it, and then sent the Murrieta Police Department a like cease and desist. They didn't want them to use their user.
That's crazy, bro.
Hey, bro, but even growing up, even like, how many times did you and I hurt each other with like slingshots?
Dude.
Like a lot.
Do you remember that?
And BB guns, bro. We had a lot of BB guns.
Eddie shot me with the BB gun, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shot me with the BB gun. Not on purpose. We were fucking around, dude, running around the house, and he fired a BB gun at me inadvertently, and it went through my lip.
Yeah.
I remember spitting the BB out.
Yeah, he just shot into a bush, and you were in the bush. But what I remember, I think the thing that I remember is that you and I were 15, 16 years old, and we didn't need a parent to go get a BB gun.
No.
So I remember going to Big Five on my bike to purchase a BB gun.
You know what? The thing that trips me out about BB guns is it's not like the danger of the BB anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. We used to go.
But it could fuck your eye up.
No, but for sure. You know, that is the whole plot of Christmas Story, you know. But, this is what I think was more dangerous. We used to walk from our house to the Autobahn.
Right on the other side of the 60.
On the other side of the freeway. So you had to go over a bridge, over the freeway, over the 60 freeway. And then it was like where Whittier Narrows was, kind of. Anyways, and we used to walk through there, and then we'd be walking around the Autobahn with our BB guns. Okay, I was thinking, bro, nowadays, if somebody sees you walking around with a BB gun, like just because they didn't, it's not like they have red tips or anything. They look like guns. So I was thinking, you can't do that anymore because people will be like, oh, there's a person with a gun over here, you know? And so I that's what I think. That's what the danger was.
Yeah, but also those guns weren't, it wasn't like they were Nerf guns, right?
No.
I mean, even a gun that shot 300 FPS, 300 feet per second could maim you, bro.
Right.
I mean, it could make it so that you're blind for the rest of your life. And they would just sell these things. And I remember we had an arsenal. It wasn't like, I remember we had this little hideout at the Whittier Narrows Nature Center where it was like a little, nobody knew where it was,
right.
But you, me, and
Joey,
and the neighborhood kids, and we'd go back the next week and all our shit would still be there. Like, we used to go in there and hike and explore and shit. It was so fun.
But we would take our BB guns with us.
I don't think we ever even shot at anything.
Do you remember, we used to take our BB guns to Mexico.
Yeah.
And kids used to see us walking around with our BB guns, and I think certain kids in that small town that my dad grew up in thought they were real guns.
This was 1990, not even, bro.
80.
This was 1987, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was my dad or somebody telling me the other day that somebody pulled out one of the BB guns we left there like in the 80s.
No way.
Yeah, that is still making the rounds. And it's probably you know, fucking wonky, bro. It probably doesn't shoot, but my dad said that one of the ants was like, "Hey, look, this BB gun's been
here." No shit, yeah, bro.
I think it was my tia that took it to my.
But you know, we used to take them in the truck across the border and shit. Border patrol was not tripping, bro.
Brother, I was 10 times more deadly with a slingshot.
I know. I was
deadly with a slingshot. Like, for real, bro. Like honestly, if I was going to go to a fight, I would rather have a slingshot. A slingshot will fuck you up, bro. A good one.
We grew up with slingshots around our necks when we went to Mexico. Remember? Yeah. And did you ever know how to do a sling?
Hold on. No, but here's the thing. Before you get to that thought, I did know a guy there, a kid from Epejan that was dope with the sling, bro.
Yeah.
And he could hit a rock from, you know, 25 yards away. But I never learned how to launch it. Like, with a slingshot, the thing with the slingshot was that it wasn't that just that I was good with it. I knew how to make a good slingshot.
Yeah.
Like, out of
tire tube, an inner tube.
Inner tube.
But the inner tube wasn't the sling.
No, you could go to a little store and get the resortes, the rubber bands, right? Yes. And then you kind of knew where the good ones were. But what I'm saying is, also, you'd be out and then you'd see a part of a tree where you're like, that make a bitchin' ass slingshot. Yep. And then you'd cut it, you know, shave it, and then make it your slingshot. Yep. Like, I remember that those were the best slingshots we had.
Yeah, dude. And there was a certain way that you, when you were aiming with the slingshot, a certain way that you held the slingshot, and a certain way, a certain angle that you put the rubber bands in. Yeah. And then I do remember this little detail was that when you had people who weren't used to going to San Miguel Epejan, right, for their summer vacation, so you might get a kid from the United States that went there for the first time, and you could tell right away that they've never fired a fucking slingshot in their lives, bro. Like, you could tell. You're like, there's a certain way to do it, and those kids didn't know how to do it.
You could tell that they had never shot with a slingshot just by the way they held it.
Exactly.
Right? It's like what you could tell when a dude never played sports because of a shitty high five.
Yeah.
Like that's how that is, bro.
Or sometimes how you can tell if a musician knows how to play their instrument just by the way they freaking hold it. Or I remember when I used to coach volleyball, I could tell if a girl was good at volleyball by the way she bounced the volleyball.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with slingshots. Like, slingshots are one of those things. Do you ever remember those two guys that we used to hang out with, and we used to go raccoon hunting at night?
Yeah. So that's the thing. All the years we had BB guns here, I don't remember shooting it at any live bird. I don't remember shooting it. We used to do target practice, right? But in Mexico, it was a whole different.
Yep.
I remember shooting it at an animal for the first time in Mexico.
Like, oh, you shot it at squirrels, or you shot it at rabbits. Of course, people nowadays are like, you shot it at a squirrel? What the fuck? But I honestly, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
It was like, you're young, you don't know, you know, plus you're, in some instances, you're eating the fucking rabbit.
Yeah.
You're killing the rabbit and you're eating it.
Bro, there was a lot of stuff I ate.
Yes, that you shot with your BB gun.
Or that, you know, we would bring back just from being out at night. Yep. You know, like, I tasted squirrel.
Yes.
I tasted
raccoon.
Wait, I tasted raccoon?
I tasted raccoon.
Yeah, I tasted armadillo. One thing I didn't ever ate that maybe because it wasn't ever offered, was I don't ever remember eating frogs. Did you eat frogs?
I ate frogs after the fact, not in Mexico, bro.
So how do you eat frog? You just eat the legs?
Yeah, they deep fry the legs. That's the way you eat alligator too.
But so
it's always breaded. Every time that I've had it, it's breaded.
You ate alligator?
And deep fried. Yeah. Well, crocodile in Australia.
So is that the only part of the frog you can eat?
That's a good question, bro. I don't know.
Because, like, there's no meat anywhere else, right? Yeah. The rest of it is just guts.
You know what? Anytime I hear somebody say that they eat frog, it's usually frog legs. Because it seems like that's, like, the drummiest, the drumstickiest part of the frog, right?
Yeah.
And it's, like, the part that has, I mean, shit, these frogs can jump their asses off, bro. That's where all the freaking meat and muscle is, you know?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of killing animals, did you hear about this kid in the Netherlands?
Yes, dude. You sent me that little thing on Flipboard.
So he apparently had gone to this petting zoo, bro, and a couple times with his class, whatever, and I guess it was close to his house, and he went back at night, and this kid was only 9, strangled or killed 11 of the animals. like with
that kid. That kid has a mental health condition, bro. I mean, I remember, dude. I've worked in child psychiatry, and one of the tall tale signs of like,
like animal mutilation,
mutilation or animal cruelty in some way, you know.
So he strangled 11 animals at a petting zoo in Hoek van Holland in the Netherlands.
How old was the kid?
Nine.
Shit, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, and he was left alone at a petting zoo. What he kill? Like rabbits?
Yeah, just little animals. Mm-hmm. But so when I first read it, I thought it was that he strangled them.
Uh-huh.
They were fucking like shot with bows and arrows and shit.
He took that to a petting zoo?
Yes, bro. Yeah, and then it says like their like guts were pulled out.
He went there to do it.
Yeah.
He went there with intent.
Yeah, bro. He took weapons there and shit. Right, yeah, that's right. Fucking crazy, bro.
That is crazy.
You're like a 9-year-old.
Wow, bro.
Some serial killers.
Yes, yeah, for real. For real.
That's fucking nuts,
that is crazy, bro. That's crazy.
You didn't read that?
I didn't read the thing, but I read the headline that you sent me, because you sent it to me on Flipboard. I got a Flipboard, by the way, now. Yeah. So we'll be speaking the same language here.
The Flipboard is great, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you know... You're right. I think that's that kid is headed for. Those parents are going to have a long life of having to worry about their kid's mental health, because that's a really tall sign or a tall tale sign that somebody is going down the wrong path, you know. And speaking of which, you also sent me an article about that guy.
Oh yeah.
Who? Okay,
doesn't it seem like shit's just getting weirder and weirder, bro?
That's
like,
weird as hell.
Or do you think? I'll let you tell the story right now. But what? Or do you think it's just because we see weirder shit because there's so many cameras? But
That's what it is. It's partly because of that. Like nowadays, you see everything there is to see almost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. It might be some tiny site that you get it from, but if it's shocking enough, people will bring it out. It'll get posted and reposted, and then you know that's obviously right. Yeah. Everybody knows that's how everything becomes viral. Yeah. But in this case, there was a guy who was arrested for gnawing on a severed leg,
bro,
from a train, not accident, but must have been a suicide, maybe.
I don't know if it was a suicide, but this was local, bro, in Wasco.
Wasco.
So guy gets hit by a train, and he gets his leg severed off in the accident. Obviously, the guy dies.
Right.
And a bum goes over there and picks the leg up and is just walking around with the fucking leg. And it's not like it's like from the knee down, bro. It's like from the hip.
Yeah. Like the femur was intact.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
right.
You can tell he's like a transient in the video, and he's just like walking around with this leg. And the weirdest shit is, he starts eating.
I know.
He starts like chewing on the leg. And then the cops pull up, bro. Right. And you can't even, they don't even know what to do. They're like, what the fuck? Like, this is weird.
I mean, it seems just so random. Like, dude, like, almost like this, he's done this before, or, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously that didn't happen. But what was weird was even when the cops, because it was cops coming from all the streets, because they were like, this guy's walking around with a fucking human leg. He was kind of like, what? Like he wasn't even fazed by the cops, bro. He was just kind of like, hey, what's up? You know, like it was crazy, bro. Like, it was just odd, bro. That's odd, sort of crazy, bro.
That is so crazy. You know,
shit, dude. What the hell?
I also wanted to talk to you about other things, you know, because I know that just recently, this is the one thing that I for sure wanted to talk to you about today, bro.
What?
Okay, what the fuck, bro, with James Harden?
Oh yeah.
Like that really is a big like. Where is your head at?
But you're talking about when he went to swap Paul George's.
It was
Kawhi Leonard's shot. Like he jumped at him.
And
Do you think he did it because sometimes we were talking about the yips last time? So this is a good conversation. Let me tell you why. Do you think that that's why Kobe was so good? Because he would make shots under pressure. And so maybe in James Harden's mind, he's like, you know what I'm saying?
Hell no, bro. No, dude. I think
because he went to block a shot, but he didn't really try though, Ben. He didn't really try. Like he made the motion to go there, and it was almost like in a joking.
No, fashion. It was almost like he was halfway there, and he's like, "Oh shit, it's Kawhi." That's what I think, because you know you have seen things where, for example, guys playing football, he gets turned around and he runs the wrong way on the football field. That's understandable.
Yeah.
Like, kind of, right? Because I feel like you still should be aware of where you're at, right?
I don't think that, because he passed him the ball.
Exactly. Yeah. Which makes it worse. Because he passed him the ball. He's in a run as he's passing it, and then he just kind of like beelines it towards him, and he's off. I don't know if he has any lift, but his arm is definitely up, and then he runs the other way. And I think, is this a reactionary, like, people, when you play sports, you just kind of react to movement. And, but I don't know, bro. It was very, to me, dude, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
Yeah, then after I think I sent you guys that montage of just James Harden doing bonehead shit. What made it even more ridiculous, bro, was the press asked him about it.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, why did you do that? And he's like, I'm just trying to bring excitement. Come on, bro.
No, dude. You know what? I would have just said the truth. I would have just been like, look, I passed him the ball, and then just had a sheer reaction because, you know, you're in the heat of the moment, you know, you just react to stuff, and I reacted, and, you know, incorrectly. Then I would have said something funny like, I'm glad I didn't actually block his shot.
It could have been as simple as, like, well, I just had a brain fart.
You know? Right, like, exactly. Fart, that's,
you
know? Fine.
And then
they leave. People who play sports may have understood, you know?
They leave you alone and shit.
Right,
you
know? Right. So. But I thought that was just, it's the strangest thing, but I think that can only happen to the fucking Clippers, bro. You know what I mean? Like, we were talking about the Clippers last week, and, you know, the Clippers are in that same category as the Angels and the Chargers, where it's a second tier team in a big city, you know, and the Clippers are definitely that team, the same way that the Angels are and the same way that the Chargers are, you know? Yeah. And so it's just weird. It's a weird thing. It's like, but for whatever reason, it seems to carry over sometimes into the play on the court or the play on the field, you know? It's just, it's a weird thing. Yeah. But I that was astonishing to me, bro. Professional athlete doing that, you know?
Shit. Yeah. Speaking of, did you, I watched a lot of basketball this week.
Yeah, I watched some.
You know, they look like they're starting to kind of gel a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're getting healthy and stuff. So I was thinking about this the other day when the James Harden thing came up, and I was thinking about in the NBA, because we've been watching the NBA for a long time, mm-hmm. from the, you know.
Yeah, the early days in the 80s when we were our early days. Yeah.
Yeah. So for you, which ex-NBA players if you could pick an NBA player, bro, since you've been watching the NBA, that whose career wouldn't have been ended by injury, who would it be?
You know, I know it's going to sound like this person that I have in mind is going to sound really it's not obscure because everybody knows who he is. Mm-hmm. It's just I would have liked to see how his career ended up, and that's he used to go by Jason Williams.
Oh.
But he's known as Jay Williams now. Yeah. And he used to play for Duke. And when he was at Duke, he was bad, bro. He was fucking awesome, dude. So then he got drafted.
Is he the guy doing? He's got a show now, right?
Yeah, he has. He's in the media, bro. He like does. Yeah. I think he did either color or play by play.
No. He has a show.
Yeah,
bro.
Got a show.
And by the way, he's got really shitty takes. Not shitty.
Yeah.
If it's the same guy we're talking about, it seems like he says shit.
He's kind of short for an NBA player.
Yeah, but he also says things that go against the grain, which is cool, but sometimes you're just like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Really? So anyway, you're saying...
Jason, he changed his name because there were two other Jason Williams in the league. You know, White Chocolate, the guy we know is White Chocolate, and then Jason Williams, the guy that shot his chauffeur.
Remember
that?
Bison Daley.
No, that's not Bison Daley.
Yes, sir, it is.
No, it's not. Jason Williams is not Bison Daley. Bison Daley is the guy from Arizona. This guy played for the Nets, dude. So, Bison Daley is.
No. I'm talking about the guy that shot his girl.
That's Brian Williams. That's Bison Daley. You're right.
Correct.
No.
Yeah, that's
right. No, Jason Williams, the guy I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He played for the Nets.
He was involved in this crime where his chauffeur was shot, dude, or somebody who works for him was shot. And then he tried to cover it up. Okay. Jay Williams, who had previously been known as Jason Williams when he was in college, Jay Williams got into a motorcycle accident after he was drafted by the Bulls.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
He was in the league for a year, I think. And then the year after that, he got into a motorcycle accident and he couldn't play anymore because he fucked his leg up, bro.
Oh, shit.
Okay. So, he in college, if you ever have a chance to see like game winners that he hit or like just the intensity that this guy plays with, he was fucking awesome, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, I would have liked to have seen how his career turned out. But also, for me, you know, Yao Ming, I think he retired like at 30, early 30s, right? Yao Ming was one of them for sure. And of course, I don't think anybody would argue that Derrick Rose was one of those. Where
Derrick Rose was it for me, bro.
Derrick Rose is probably the biggest one.
I remember when Derrick Rose first came in the league, and I was like, this guy's unbelievable. Bro. Yeah. Pre-injury, bro, and you know, here we go again. It got in his head, bro.
Yeah,
that he was gonna get injured every time he went.
Yep,
up, and he stopped attacking the rim, and then it made him sort of, in my mind, more prone to injury. He was so careful, and he did end up getting hurt a couple of times. Like one major injury, and then after that, he became kind of sketchy on the court, bro. And then it completely took his edge away because he used to attack the rim. He was like the kid from Minnesota, right?
He's dunking off, like Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, bro. Yeah. Except a little shorter version. But before Anthony Edwards, it was Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was bad, bro. Right. That year they were all in the Olympic team together. Fuck.
Do you think that he was getting hurt because he was playing timid?
For sure.
That happens, right?
For sure, bro. I think so. Look at Anthony Davis this season. Mm-hmm. I think somebody got to him and said, bro, I don't see – he still goes to the fucking floor a lot, but it's almost like his teammates were like, bro, you go to the floor a lot because
He's afraid to land on somebody, or he's afraid – it almost seems to
but
me like –
but if he would just stay on his feet, yes, bro, dude. You know what I mean?
He's afraid to land. Almost. I'm just going to go to the floor. You know?
Even when LeBron James gets fouled hard, like if you see LeBron James on the floor, it's because he got fouled.
Right.
He tries to stay up. You know?
Yeah. It's like Anthony Davis is going to the floor for the same reason that dudes that do parkour go to the floor because they don't want to get hurt. It's like they land, but they don't do – they do a soft landing by rolling out of it. That's like Anthony Davis. He tries a soft land every time he jumps. And I'm like, dude, just fucking – let's play hard, you know?
Yeah. Derrick Rose was my number one. There's also there was T-Mac. Also, right?
Yeah, I think Tracy McGrady. Yeah. We could probably pause and talk about this fucking guy because he was so outstanding.
Yeah, he was good.
He was he was fucking really good.
Hey, so how big was that guy? Was he 6'9"?
Yeah, dude.
He was a little taller.
He can handle the ball. Yeah, he was like one of the first dudes where he was facing you. Maybe like Magic Johnson was 6'8", but every time he dribbled the ball, his ass would be towards you. Yeah, so he was running the offense with his back turned to the freaking basket. Yeah. Where Tracy McGrady wasn't like that. You know, he wasn't running the offense, but he was one of those guys that could just like size you up. He'd look at you while he's dribbling, but he was 6'9". You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got a very similar game to Gilchrist Alexander, bro.
Yeah,
they got a very similar
Gilchrist
game.
Alexander. Yeah. I would say it's very similar.
Yeah, it's very similar, but he's a little bigger. I remember Tracy McGrady being bigger, but he was cut from that same mold. He was Kobe Bryant. He was like that.
And he's Vince Carter's cousin.
I think. Correct?
He's Vince Carter's cousin. And of course, the other one, who never really had a career, right? Greg Oden, the dude that went to Ohio State.
Yeah,
is that his name, Greg Oden.
Yeah,
and then. The other one is Greg.
It would have been cool just to see, because there was the Greg Oden sweepstakes, just like when Shaq came out of LSU. It was like whoever gets Shaq, like that's fuck, it. you could count on the next 5 years they'll at least get one,
like Wemby this year.
Yeah, and then Oden, he was that big, bro. Mm-hmm. He was as big as Shaq. Yeah, like, he's fucking big, bro.
He looked like he was 36 when he was still at Ohio State, but he was a big fucker. Yeah, yeah. And he came into the league at around the same time that Andrew Bynum did.
Yeah.
And Andrew Bynum, for as horrible as his career ended up, actually had some productive years, and Greg Oden never did. Yeah,
his best year was the year they won.
And then that's the last one probably is for me is Grant Hill. Mm. And Grant Hill, what doomed him was an ankle injury, which is weird.
Yeah, I never really, maybe because he played for, who did he play for?
Detroit.
Correct. And so maybe, I don't remember getting a lot of exposure to Grant Hill, bro.
I do remember that Grant Hill, to me, his biggest accomplishment was bouncing UNLV out of the NCAA, because UNLV that year was stacked.
Yeah, they were the
it was like the Fab Five, but like
the UNLV version.
Yeah. Yes, but they were, Larry Johnson
and Stacey Ogden. Chris Webber played for Michigan, but they also had
Anderson Hunt,
Anderson,
Greg Anthony, and then the other starter was I don't know if his name was George or Greg Ackles. He was also good, but he wasn't NBA good.
Yeah,
but he was good.
And their coach was Tark the Shark, bro. And
Fresno State.
Yeah, and he gave him an edge, bro. I remember that team. Nobody wanted to play him and shit. Remember Augmentation?
Yes, Augmentation. He's from Muir High School.
Yeah, they used to have that thing. That team had that thing called the Amoeba Defense. Remember?
Uh huh.
Remember that?
Yeah, I don't remember the details of it, but yeah, and that was a Jerry Tarkanian.
Yeah. What about this, Ben? What about Brandon Roy?
Yeah, but you know, Brandon Roy, I wouldn't put him in that category where it's like I really wanted to see what Brandon Roy was good, bro. Brandon Roy though didn't have enough good years where you're like, but he had one or two good years where you're like, what the this guy's gonna be fucking good. And and the fact that he was at Portland, I think, kind of, dude, it doesn't ruin it for me. But
you know what's weird is that his game was very similar.
I know what you're gonna say.
To Damian Lillard. Yep. Yeah, it was, and they played for, which was weird. You know,
like, I agree with you, bro. You know, as a matter of fact, you can easily mistake if you think about the player. Sometimes for some reason, bro, like I don't get them mixed up in my head, but I think you're so right. They had very similar games. You know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we grew up watching that guy because, you know, any team that's in the Western Conference, we just get a lot more exposure to, right? So we see that. And, you know, Portland, for some reason in our lifetimes, has been that team.
I think that having watched the NBA for as long as, like, if you've watched the NBA like us, we've watched the NBA for 40 years, bro, you know, and then you see the, you know, I don't really even buy this argument that, you know, back then they were playing against plumbers and shit, you know, like, but I do think that today's athletes, they would have their way with them, bro. There's, dudes, that played in the 80s and 90s that for sure you're not going to tell me they can't hang in today's league, but I think the league was a little bit more watered down.
I agree.
I think there's better athletes in the league today, and you know, naturally, bro, that's not a knock on how they used to play basketball. It's just that advancements in science, they make bigger, faster, and better athletes, bro.
It's weird that I agree with you. I think that the advancement has been in humans.
Yeah.
People are just more athletic now, bro, for some reason.
Yeah, like when you remember, I think the first time where I was like, okay, we're in the next sort of stage of human evolution was when Ja Morant took that ball off the backboard, and then it was making the rounds on social media, and I was like, how is that even possible? It's like he jumped out of the Matrix, right? Like, it's like, what the hell? Like, how the hell can somebody be that? He like a superhero, bro. Like,
and this year, Anthony Edwards had a block shot. And what's crazy about that play is that, well, first of all, the fact that he hits his head, his neck, bro, on the bottom of the backboard is unbelievable to me. But when you see it in slow motion, it's almost like his jump goes up another level as he's reaching for the ball.
Yeah.
It looks so unreal to me.
Yeah.
You know, he is so explosive. But on that play, it shows everything that's great about Anthony Edwards, right?
Yeah, he's a great player.
I mean, that's a chase down block.
Yeah.
But where he's not behind him, at some point the guy's already into his layup, he's still on the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's jumping off two legs, but he's in front of him. Whereas, like, sometimes when you see LeBron do it, LeBron's doing it from behind those chase down blocks. Yeah. So the guy never really sees him. But this guy, he was right in front of him, bro. Anthony Edwards was in front of him, the guy from Indiana. I forget who had the ball, but it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because the guy was already into his layup, and Anthony Edwards was still on the floor, and he caught up to him, and just his body looks, dude. Yeah. And then he felt pretty sick.
Yeah.
It wasn't a safe landing.
Yeah, he had another play, I think in the last 2 weeks, where he dunked from, like, mid-key, and then just, like, just obliterated this guy, bro. He caught a body. Like, it was crazy.
Sometimes, bro, I think that the reason why they're able to dunk on people, Kobe Bryant was really good at this, where he was able to dunk on people because he was fast to the rim. He wasn't necessarily, he didn't jump higher. All the athletes in the NBA are fucking freaks.
Who was the first athlete that you were like, okay, this is now, like, because I think for me, it's happened to me twice, and I just mentioned one of them when I saw Ja Morant do that, bro. I was like, but here's the thing. It doesn't necessarily make him the best basketball player, right?
No.
I mean, he's totally athletic. Like, he's a good, you know, he's an all-star. But, you know, a guy like LeBron, bro, he's not as athletic as he used to be. He still gets 27 points a game.
Right.
But here's what I wanted to tell you. The first time I saw an athlete, well, I was like, it was Michael Vick at Virginia Tech, bro. And Michael Vick, bro, he was so fast, bro, that they made it all the way to the national championship game that game. They, you knew they were going to lose, but yeah. just because they had Michael, Virginia Tech had Michael yeah. Vick, yeah. like they were in the game.
Yeah.
I remember a play in that game. They were doing like an option, like an end around, bro. And he dropped the fucking ball. He dropped it. And then he picked it up and still outran the edge. And like he dropped it and like fumbled around with it, and he still outran the edge, bro. That's like crazy, if he goes straight to the edge, yeah. it's almost impossible at that level to outrun the edge, bro. And he was doing a little bit of the NFL, a little bit of that in the NFL, but not.
Yeah, like, he was college. Great, and he had a decent arm. Where bro. Sometimes at that point, the scrambling quarterback didn't. Sometimes they didn't have good arms.
Yeah, bro. And he was lefty.
Yeah,
he's right. Lefty. So yeah. he's the freakiest guy in the League of Freaks, bro. Like yeah. he was a freak, man.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, he was a badass, bro. I really liked watching him play. You know, sometimes you're watching NFL. Foul, mm-hmm. and the only reason why you're watching the game is because they have this one player who,
yeah,
and that was Michael Vick for me, bro. You know, yeah. like you see, like Virginia Tech. I don't think I've ever had before him. I'd ever seen one game that involved Virginia Tech, right? But yeah. when he was there, it was like must see TV, bro, because yeah. of the shit that he was doing in college. You know? Yeah, he was great, bro. I think you also posed another question to me on, I think it was Instagram, where you said, "What would you rather have?" And I don't forget what the scenario was. It was like,
it was, "Would you rather have play 15 years, win 8 championships, 1 MVP, retire, or play 10 years, win 5 MVPs, 1 championship, and end your career due to injury?" Because we're talking about injuries this week, bro.
Yeah. Well, I think the one probably, let's see.
So basically,
championships is really what it is. So the first choice, which is 15 years and 8 championships, 1 MVP, and retire, is probably the one I'd go with. Right, because you'll be remembered more for the championships than you will for the MVPs.
Yeah, but they're also saying because you're going from playing 15 years to 10 years.
Yeah,
like yeah. that would be, you know, what price do you put on 5 years of playing pro sports?
Right.
You know? But although, I mean,
for me, bro, it's like, is there a better lifestyle in the world?
Yeah, but now, yeah. I mean, but also. You know, from today, you got to think that they don't really even have to play that long to be set for life, bro.
Yeah.
Really, if you play 2 years and you invest your money right, you can set yourself up for the rest of your life. So you see guys retiring, bro. I mean, Andrew Luck retired, what, after 5 years in the NFL? Yeah.
I would say, though.
Jason Kelce just retired.
Yeah. I would say, though, Murdoch, that the guys who have their shit together as far as, like, you know, how wisely they're investing their money – in any league is probably low if you're only playing 2 years, because at that point you're still under 25 or whatever, and yeah. people don't know what the fuck they're doing before 25. Like, they just don't.
And also, I think guys that play violent sports like that are starting to realize that you also can't put a price on having your brain scrambled and living a, you know, when you become Antonio Brown, bro, if you take too many hits to the head,
right?
You know, and so I think you see it more.
You
from,
become Antonio Brown.
You do,
that's good.
Yeah. You see that more in pro football, because I don't remember too many NBA guys or even baseball guys going, "I'll play 5 years and I'm going to retire." You
right.
know, you want to play sports. You want to ride that wave as long as right. you can. But I think in NFL, that's the trade off, is that you're like, dude, if I play this another 5 years, I may not be able to remember my grandkids' names and shit. You know, and
so I don't think I, if I was a good athlete, I don't think I would ever choose football over other sports. But football is the most popular sport. You know what I mean?
Did you ever see the perfect hit that they say put Antonio Brown that made him nuts?
This is perfect. The player.
He was a linebacker from Cincinnati.
Trevor.
No. Vontae Burfict. I think that's his first name. But have you seen that hit?
Mm-mm.
Dude, it's on YouTube. And then if you go in the comments, this is so every time the comment section in that particular piece of video on YouTube would light up is whenever he'd come on TV and say some crazy shit.
Right.
Like when he walked off the field in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. When he was saying crazy shit online, dude, when, what's crazy, Bien, is that if you watch Antonio Brown interviews prior to that, he seems like a normal guy, bro.
Yeah.
And then little by little, he
starts to lose it a little bit.
Starts saying crazy shit, yeah. you know, and who knows, maybe.
Maybe he had a pre-existing, you don't know, right?
Yeah.
But you have to assume that some of it, or at least part of it, is because of the violence. The violent nature of football.
Yeah, it snapped his neck, bro. Like, that was a violent hit, bro.
Yeah, just think about how people used to do it before, you know, when they didn't have all the safety equipment and shit, you know? Like, that's, it's crazy to think about. Yeah, for sure. So, I wanted to kind of it's hard to segue into stuff like this, but did you listen to Chris's latest podcast?
I think the last one I listened to was he was on the Profile Pod, by the way.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he did a live. I was gonna call you, man, because I thought you saw.
Oh no, I didn't.
Yeah,
see that.
He came on the Profile Pod and they did a live.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, it was good. Oh, cool. It was long. I had to cut out the last 20 minutes, but I think I was in for most of it. Yeah, we were just talking Dodger.
Yeah, baseball. he was giving a rundown of the it was hours before the Korea series. He put an episode out.
Oh, okay.
And I listened to it after the game because I just didn't catch it when it came out. But yeah, he was talking about some interesting stuff. I wanted to see what your take was on how you think the NL West is going to shape out. Obviously, I think the Dodgers are going to win the division, but I think everything else is kind of up for grabs. He didn't really touch on it too much, but you know, I think. The second best team is probably going to be the Giants now that they got Snell. You know, they got Snell on their pitching rotation now. So
aside from San Francisco, who do you also see at the top of that National?
I don't even think Arizona is going to finish third. I think San Diego might finish third. Between San Diego and Arizona, either one of those teams is going to finish third. And Colorado for sure is going to be the last place team. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
What about in the National League as a whole?
I think the Dodgers and the Braves are going to probably be in the
Astros. How are they looking?
Yeah, the Astros are in the American.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They, but they used to be in the National.
Yeah. Damn, bro. Hey, that still trips me out.
I know
that they're in the
American and that they're in the American League. Yeah. I know, and it almost seems like they're going to put them in the. If you told the Dodgers they're going to go to the American League, they'd be like, "Yeah, fuck you. We're not going anywhere." You know. Yeah. But the Astros are like, "Yeah, okay."
We'll but so the main thing I remember growing up was just the DH rule.
Yeah,
and now they got the DH in the National League, right?
They are doing every major league manager in the National League a favor. They did them a favor when they went to DH because, man, you don't have to strategize as much anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't have to bat your pitcher. That changes. I know there's nine batters, but man, that changes the whole, scene, bro, for real, man. Yeah. If you have to bat your pitcher because, you know, you start talking about pinch hitters or you start, just more stuff comes into play, you know, mm-hmm. You have to think a lot less, I think, when there's a DH rule.
Did you see this thing I sent you too, bro, about that kid? Yeah, he was a kid from I think he plays for Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ambidextrous and he throws.
Oh yes, he throws, I did see that.
He throws from both sides.
Yeah.
Equally as hard.
Right.
Let me see if I can find it here.
And he's a switch pitcher.
Correct.
And there's a rule, bro. There's a rule that the batter, I think, I'm pretty sure there's a rule where the batter can only switch his direction once. So if he switches, so if the pitcher switches from right to left, and then which makes the batter want to go to the right, like hit from the right if it's a switch hitter, you can only do that once, I think.
Yeah.
During an at bat.
So I was talking to Chris. So he throws 90 from both sides, right? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Chris, the host of the Dodger Dogs podcast, and then I was telling him, well, is he going to be allowed to switch mid inning? He's like, yeah, they should. I mean, they let, because batters could do that, right? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, bro. He's gonna need a different glove,
dude. So on the clip that you sent me, I seen him switch his glove.
Shut up.
Yes, dude. He switches his glove.
So he's got a glove.
Uh huh. That probably somehow has been configured to fit both his left and his right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hand.
Yeah. And Chris goes, oh shit, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Dude. Like,
but you're right. Yes.
Yeah. He throws 90 right. from both sides.
Though I think if he needed to, he could probably just have a glove behind the mound because sometimes they have that bag.
Oh yeah.
That they use to dry their hands.
They'd probably make some rule. Bro.
Yeah. No, they would make a rule. They'd have to make a rule for him. You know. Pretty awesome though. I mean, that's some pretty serious talent there to throw 90 from left and right.
That's what I'm telling you, bro.
What's his control like, right? He probably has really shitty control, right?
Yeah.
But that's pretty awesome, though.
Hey, like what's his name? I just found this out. Maybe not just found it out, but I tripped out that LeBron James is left-handed.
What? Oh, that is crazy. But you know those athletes, man. I don't.
But he plays basketball right-handed.
Right-handed, yeah.
That's
a
trip.
But that just means he doesn't have a weak side. When he dribbles.
But he plays
A right-hander.
He plays exclusively right-handed.
Yeah.
Like he might shoot with his left every. I've seen him shoot with his left the other day and it looked weird.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that's why it's weird to me, dude.
Right.
Good show today, Ben. I'm sure we're gonna have some more interesting topics.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, bro? You know what's crazy about this is that when we get when you start signaling to me that there's more than an hour, it just blows my mind, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
It blows my mind. I'm like, I can't fucking believe we're already at an hour. Like, yeah. It goes by so fast, you know. And it's, you know, I think for the same things that we mentioned before. But yeah, I you know, just over the past, you know, six episodes, this is what happens to me. I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe we're already done, you know. Yeah, lots of fun, man. I had a lot of fun doing this one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, this is what I was telling you, get that flipboard, because I run across stuff all the time. I'll just be fun to talk about.
Yeah, it has made me more aware of the things that I keep track of, you know, because yeah. I always want to think like, man, I really want to talk to Murdoch about this, because I'm sure he'd have an interesting take on this shit. But also, because I know that people are listening, right? My friends or our cousins or whatever, and if they send stuff in, I'm like, yeah, that's a good point, you know. Or it lends itself to furthering of the conversations that we have, you know. But lots of cool topics today.
Yeah, so. For sure, man. So again, you guys, for our listeners, you guys can find us at Valley Voices Unleashed on Instagram, and you can also email us at valleyvoicesunleashed@gmail.com. So VV Unleashed is our app on Instagram. We don't post a lot of funny stuff, but we do try to post at least a little video clip of the episode that'll be getting released. This one should get released probably in about a week. So, yeah. So thank you guys all for tuning in, and then we will catch you guys on the other side.
All right, we'll see you guys. Good night. Bye.